The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. DrivenToSaveLives.org is their website. Scoreboard update, obviously, coming up with Eddie, and then we're going to talk about IU. We're going to talk more about basketball. Great weekend of basketball coming up around our state. Right now, though, we turn it over to the star of the show. It's Network Indiana's Eddie Garrison.
Thank you, Coach Lovell. 1 hour to go on this Friday night of Indiana Sports Talk. A lot of college hoops. Just updated you moments ago. Give you another one briefly. Nebraska Cornhuskers 74, Indiana Hoosiers 49. Indiana cut it down to 19, and then Malik Renew fouled out, and Mike Woodson was not happy. He got a technical foul, so that was a three-point swing for Nebraska, and Indiana just has not been able to string together stops and scores. Mackenzie Mbako, he's leading the team in scoring with 16 points, but he's also in foul trouble. He's got four himself at this juncture, though. It does not matter. Underneath 8 minutes to go before the conclusion of Indiana's season, barring a miraculous comeback, as it's down 25. Earlier this afternoon, the Michigan State Spartans, the Purdue Boilermakers in the quarterfinal for the Big Ten tournament, and Purdue comes out with a 67-62 win, their 29th win on the season. Matt Painter, after the game, gave an update on Braden Smith because he exited in the second half with a lower leg injury.
Yeah, he said it was his calf. He said he like pulled a calf muscle or got hit in the calf. I'm not sure there. And then he said he was able to go. So obviously we went with him. I don't think he was the same, right? He wasn't as aggressive. You know, he really didn't try to get to his pull-up or drive very much. He was just solid out there. So we'll see. Sometimes those things in the next day, you know, you're perfectly fine, and sometimes they get progressively worse. So we'll just kind of, you know, see what's going on and see how he's feeling tonight and tomorrow morning.
Zach Edey led all scorers with 29 points. He also had 12 rebounds. He was asked after the game what his mindset was like when he saw his point guard go down.
Yeah, I got ultimate trust in my teammates to step up and fill whatever role is needed. Lance can do that. We're confident in him doing that. Like, I wasn't worried at all when Lance had to step into that role, because I know I've been with him in practice. I know the work he puts in. And I know the type of player that he is.
Lance Jones was big in this one. He drew five charges. He had 10 points, half of those coming from the free throw line. He spoke after the game just about playing in meaningful games in March Madness.
I love it. It's winning time now. It's March. It's a new season. I just want to bring a different type of edge and competitiveness and aggressiveness.
Go far right side, front row.
That was Lance Jones after the contest. Purdue, now they will play tomorrow against Wisconsin. That game will start at 1 o'clock. The Badgers defeated the Northwestern Wildcats 70-61. Big offensive scoring for Wisconsin's A.J. Starr. He had 30 points leading all scorers. Boo Booey for Northwestern had 29. Tomorrow, the Indiana Pacers, they take on the Brooklyn Nets. One of two teams the Pacers have yet to face this season. The other team technically being the Los Angeles Lakers, because that in-season tournament championship game does not count towards the overall record for Indiana. The Pacers right now, they're in a clog right there for that 4-5-6 seed in the Eastern Conference. Tyrese Haliburton was asked today at practice what the team's mindset is like the final 15 games.
You know, he's got to lock in, be ready, be prepared. Obviously, the whole West Coast trip are three teams that have beat us already. But obviously, what's in front of us, we haven't played Brooklyn yet. We played Cleveland really early in the season, and they've kind of changed the trajectory of their season from where that is. So I think the focus just has to be on tomorrow and approaching that game the right way. We're just taking it a game by game. I mean, like you see, every day the standings change depending on if we win or lose or other teams, and we can't really depend on other teams for help. Like, just, it's so crazy right now. So we've got to take care of what's in front of us.
Indiana, of course, is coming off that devastating loss on Wednesday night in overtime to the Chicago Bulls, 132-129. Tip-off tomorrow afternoon from Gainbridge Fieldhouse is set for 7 o'clock. Indiana Pacers 37-30. The Brooklyn Nets are 26-40, and this will mark the end of a five-game road trip for Brooklyn.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Eddie Garrison, we're not allowed to do play-by-play, but kind of give me an overview of the IU matchup.
The lead now has ballooned to 25. Check that. 27 for Nebraska with 6 minutes to go, and it's pretty much all she wrote at this point.
How much time did you say?
5:20.
And they're down 27.
Correct.
So I guess Nebraska didn't cool off.
I mean, they've scored 30 points already.
So to speak. Man, what have they done from three tonight so far?
Mike Woodson, I believe, just picked up his second technical foul, so he was just removed from the game, for a lack of a better phrasing. But to answer your question, right. 13 of 27 from three-point range.
So 13 to 27, coach gets two and gets booted. I would tell you that in my career, I was asked to leave games. I was asked to leave a number of games before they had concluded. And so that is about frustration. That is a purely frustration situation. And none of this is good. None of this is good at all. And good news, obviously, for Purdue, they win. Question mark now about Braden Smith. We're hopeful that his calf injury is such that he can go ahead and play like he normally does, because they really, really need him. But they're playing with house money anyway, for heaven's sake. So, you know, they're going in as a number one seed, and they just need to take some time. But that's disturbing for the Hoosiers and the Hoosier faithful. That is wow. That's a surprise. That is especially the way they've played during this streak. You don't anticipate coming in and getting blown out in the Big Ten tournament. And not to cast aspersions of Nebraska, but it's a team that's beaten you twice, and you're thinking, you know, so hard to beat somebody three times. We all know it, and we all say it, but man, oh man, all that went out the window.
Yeah, and I think in large part was because in the first half, Xavier Johnson, who has been such a critical piece for them over the course of these last five games, he picked up two fouls, so he had to sit.
Yikes.
So when you're missing Xavier Johnson, who, and I know people probably groan when I mention his name in this aspect, but he's their senior leader in terms of their most experienced player. He's their vocal leader. He's a really good defender, and he just gets them in sets offensively. Right. He knows how to operate the Mike Woodson offense, and when you remove that, it just makes things hard for a team that's already offensively challenged. Anthony Leal got banged up late in the first half. He hasn't played much in the second half. Came out of the locker room and did start the second half, but have not seen much of him. Appeared to be a lower leg around the ankle, probably, if I had to guess. But overall, Indiana, 4 of 16 from three-point range. They just haven't had the shooting this year. And when you're facing a Nebraska team who they score primarily from the three-point line, you got to be able to take it away. And if not, you got to be able to be somewhere in the same zip code, because, I mean, you can compete with them on the glass and you can force them into turnovers, but if you can't keep up with threes, then it's going to be really hard for Indiana to win, and that was certainly the case again today.
Yeah, that's the disappointing part of it, is that there's a team that just has dominated you in the year, and I mean dominated, and that's disturbing that the Hoosiers didn't come out better prepared mentally, physically, game plan, all those things. That's a hard one. That's a hard, hard loss. And now, you know, people's heads absolutely will explode. And we know what the next few days are going to be like. But we're excited about what's going on tomorrow. Eddie, you going to get out on the road, go watch the semi-state or not?
Tomorrow I will not be able to do so. I got to produce the Indiana Pacers game tomorrow night. So,
Yeah,
I'll be
Pacers
working.
Pacers play, who they play tomorrow?
Brooklyn. They play the Brooklyn Nets. So, yeah, this is a more of a must win game for them, because every game from here on out for the Pacers is a must win. Just when you look at the jumbled up Eastern Conference standings. They're right in the thick of things of that play-in spot right now. They are sixth. Right. They are behind Orlando, who is fifth by two games, and have a half a game lead over Miami for seventh. So any win you can get for your Indiana, you absolutely will take them at this point of the year.
You're in playoff mode right now. That's how you have to play. That's how you have to approach it. You're in a tournament approach. You got to win or you're eliminated. Yep. It's that simple. All right, Eddie. Great job. Eddie's coming up with another scoreboard update. We'll come back and talk some basketball, some semi-state basketball after Eddie's scoreboard update. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
With this Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard updates, I'm Eddie Garrison. Let's take a look at the semi-state games for tomorrow. In Class 1A at Michigan City, Liberty Christian will take on Marquette Catholic. Elkhart Christian will take on Fort Wayne Canterbury. First game between Liberty Christian and Marquette Catholic will be at 11 o'clock in the morning. Elkhart Christian and Fort Wayne Canterbury will play at 1 o'clock. The winner of those two games will play at 8:30 to go on to face off. And then the state championship game for Class 1A out against Washington, that will face the winner from that semi-state location. Greenwood Christian will take on Bethesda Christian at 10 o'clock in the morning. Evansville Christian and Bar Reeve are set to play around noon. The winner of those two games in the Washington semi-state will play at 7:30 for a chance to go to state. And Class 2A at Southport, Park Tudor will take on Brownstown Central at 10 o'clock in the morning. After that game, it will be Park Heritage and Forest Park. The winner of those two games will face off at 8 o'clock for a semi-state title. At 7:30 p.m., that will be the semi-state title between the winners of these two games from Lafayette Jeff. North Judson and Wapahani will play at 10 o'clock in the morning. Fort Wayne Blackhawk and Wabash is the other game that will play after the conclusion of North Judson and Wapahani. Class 3A at Logansport, it's Peru and South Bend St. Joseph at 10 o'clock in the morning. Delta will take on Fairfield around noon, and then the winner of those two games will face off at 8 o'clock. And in Class 4A at Newcastle, Greg Rakestraw broke this down earlier, Center Grove and Ben Davis at 10 o'clock, Jeffersonville and Lawrence North at noon. The winner at 8 o'clock of both of those games.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Great day tomorrow. Semi-state action around the state. To say that they're all great games would be an understatement, because they are at Newcastle, a 4A matchup that starts at 10 in the morning. Center Grove taking on Ben Davis. Trojans are 21-4. Ben Davis, defending champs, 21-5. With me, Center Grove's Zach Hahn. Coach, first of all, congratulations on the great season that you've had and the opportunity to play in the semi-state coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I think it's, for any coach, it's a dream to get out of the sectional first off, because that's hard enough. And then if you're lucky to get out of the regional, everything at this point is kind of gravy, but it's an honor. It's exciting to get to go back to my hometown, you know, where I'm from, where I kind of fell in love with the game of basketball. Getting to play in the field house, I think, is going to be pretty special for all the kids that get that opportunity.
So when you practiced, did you take everybody out on the court and say, okay, here's the shot I made to win this game, and this is where I made this shot to win this game? Did you walk them through all those highlights?
No, nothing like that, but it was neat because
I'll bet.
They walked out. They came out through the tunnel. You know, sometimes you walk in through the top of the gym. Well, we took them in the side door.
Right.
So their first view of the field house was through the tunnel. And it was neat to just see them act like kids again, you know, because they want to be grown up and act cool all the time. And you saw them kind of let their guard down and just kind of like soak it in for a second. And that was pretty neat to watch.
Well, aside from the joy of being able to go back home and play in front of thousands of people, there's also the joy of playing for a chance to play in the state finals. The problem is you've got the defending champs who are pretty good again.
Yeah, I mean, they just reload every year. You know, they've got 4,000 kids in their school. They're extremely well coached. Their whole staff played college basketball, I think. And they do a really good job. They've got a ton of talent. Obviously, they're, if not the most athletic, one of the most athletic teams in the state year in and year out. And it's always a battle. You know, when we were in the MIC, I think the games were 5-3 or something like that when we played them, and pretty much every game came down to 2 to 3 possessions. So We're familiar with them. They're pretty familiar with our program. And when you're playing a Ben Davis or an LN or Warren Central or anybody like that from the MIC, it really comes down to two categories, and that's turnovers and rebounds. If you can do those two things, that gives you a pretty good chance to win at the end.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the number one factor I would think going into this is you have to take good care of the basketball and take and make good shots.
You do, and we're a really efficient team. We have a great inside-outside game. We've got two pretty good post players this year that can score down low. And then we've got four kids that are shooting over 45% from three. So, and a big part of that is they don't take bad shots. They take good quality right. open shots. Their feet are set. But, you know, we have some offensive weapons. But like you said, if you turn it over, that leads to easy buckets for them. If we can keep them in front, make them take tough contested twos and threes, and then finish with the rebound. That's the most important thing. You got to finish with the rebound to be able to get out and transition a little bit. So I think a lot of people think that, oh, it's Center Grove. We're gonna slow it down, and this game is gonna be in the 30s. if it's in the 30s or 40s, that means great defense was played because neither team wants to play slow. Both teams want to get out and run a little bit. So. Should be a fun 10 a.m. game on a Saturday.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, people have the misconception that you're going to try to play a little bit of slower pace. You know, pace is a big factor in this game because both of you want to get out and space the court and play a little pace and space type of basketball if you have the chance.
Yeah. I think both teams thrive on that, honestly. And both teams are capable of those quick 6-8-0 runs, which makes it dangerous all the way to the final mm-hmm. buzzer. You know, you can be down 6 and the game changes in 20. And both teams have been able to do that and have shown that they're capable of that all year. So you can't let your guard down even for a second because end of quarters are going to be really important. You know, those 4-5-0 runs to end a quarter can change the outlook of a game. So we have to be really sharp and execute for 32 minutes.
So when you go into this, you know, matchups are important too, but I think, as you point out, I got to take care of the ball, don't give up any big runs. But I think offensively you have a group of guys that can stop some of those runs too. And I think the other part of it too that might get overlooked is you haven't gotten where you are without guarding people.
No, I mean, that's the biggest thing that this group kind of figured out. Early in the year, we struggled. We were 3-3. Our backs were against the wall. You know, we were preseason ranked third, and it was a disappointing start. And I think it kind of humbled the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it made them grow up pretty quick and say, look, we're not giving the effort that we need to give. And we switched some things here and there as a staff, but for the most part, it was the boys just buying into what we were already asking them to do and then them making the conscious, you know, adjustments. But they did. They decided we're going to start guarding. We're going to start defending. We've got two of what I think would be the better defenders in the state, and 6'7" Peyton Bird, who can guard 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Bundy's been one of our defensive stoppers. You know, he's not super quick. He's not this great athlete, but he's really, really smart, tough, physical guard that just keeps guys in front. But like you said, it could be a defensive battle because Mark White, Mark Zachary, that group, along with their 6'7" post players mm-hmm. that they have, I mean, there's great team defense all the way around with some really good individual stoppers. So.
Should be a tremendous matchup. Just briefly, I know you're focused clearly on Ben Davis, but tell me about the Jeffersonville and Lawrence North matchup.
Well, again, if you get to the semi-state in 4A, especially South the last several years, I can't right. speak for the North as much because I don't get to watch those guys play. But it's a juggernaut. Like every year, every team has – we're the only team that has nobody with a Division I offer. You know, we have 5 or 6 guys that are going to play in college, but Jeffersonville probably mm-hmm. has 2 D1 mm-hmm. players. LN has probably 4. You know, Ben Davis has 1 already with a high major football kid also, and probably 2 others that will end up getting there. So it's the talent is just – it's unbelievable. The athleticism is unbelievable. You know, we played Jeffersonville earlier. They're very well coached. They're a little bit like us. They play kind of an older – school style of basketball where they actually throw it in the post and make post moves. Not very many high school teams do that anymore. And so I think that'll give LN some issues, but you know, I think LN has the upper hand just with the depth. I mean, they have four or five guys that are going to play mid to high major basketball. And they're, you know, whereas Jeffersonville, I think there's two or three guys that are pretty good. I just think the depth of LN will cause them some issues because they don't get to play, you know, Marion County basketball week in and week out like LN does.
Right.
So they're not used to seeing that.
He's Zach Hahn. He's the head basketball coach at Center Grove. Trojans taking on Ben Davis. Game number one at Newcastle, followed up by the Jeffersonville-Lawrence North game. Coach, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck to you and the Trojans tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks. We're going to need it. Winning two games in a day, I'm not sure who decided this was a good idea, but it's going to be the toughest day of my coaching career and the toughest day of these boys' playing careers. But they're a tough group, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
I appreciate the comments. Best of luck again, Coach. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks a lot, Zach. Zach Hahn, the head coach at Center Grove. They take on Ben Davis in Newcastle. Jeffersonville will play Lawrence North in the second game of the day. We got a lot left to talk about. Eddie Garrison coming up with another scoreboard update here at the bottom of the hour. Kip Westner from Hoosier Basketball Magazine will join us. I believe he's in Minneapolis tonight, so we're going to track him down and get a little rundown on what happened with the Big Ten tournament. Purdue with a win, IU, as Eddie's going to tell you, with a loss. If you haven't heard, it's been carnage, if you will, at the Big Ten tournament involving IU. We're back after this short break and a scoreboard update with the star of our show, Network Indiana's Eddie Garrison. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
With this Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update, I'm Eddie Garrison. Coach Lovell was right. The game has gone final in the quarterfinal of the Big Ten tournament between Nebraska and the Indiana Hoosiers. 93-66 is the final score. All Cornhuskers in this contest. Kasey Tominaga and Bryce Williams each score 23 points. The two starting guards for Nebraska combined for 46 points. 8 of 13 from three-point range. Tominaga was 4 of 7. Bryce Williams was 4 of 6. Leading the Hoosiers in scoring off the bench was C.J. Gunn. He had 17 points, and the only other player to reach double figures for the Hoosiers was Mackenzie Mbako. He had 16 points. The season for Indiana has come to an end. They finished the year 19-14 underneath Mike Woodson, and it's expected to miss the Big Ten tournament for the first time underneath the former Indiana Hoosier basketball player. Earlier today, the Purdue Boilermakers defeated the Michigan State Spartans 67-72. Zach Edey was again the best player on the basketball court, 29 points and 12 rebounds, missed 6 shots and 5 free throws. Key contributors for Purdue, Lance Jones, he had 10 points, drew 5 charges as well. Half of his points came from the free throw stripe. Next up for the Boilermakers are the Wisconsin Badgers tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The status of Braden Smith will be to be determined, and they'll see how that calf is feeling later tonight and into tomorrow morning. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Big Ten Tournament in Minneapolis, live from Minneapolis. The publisher of the Hoosier Basketball Magazine, unlike any other publication in the entire free world, Kip Westner joins us. Kip, big win for Purdue, a terribly disappointing loss for the Hoosiers just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the lobby of a hotel here in Minnesota, and I feel like the good old days when Gary Donna would ask me to get a few high school players and call the Bob Lovell show from a lobby at a hotel about the North-South game, because just brings back memories of talking to Bob.
Yeah, it does. Room.
But, about the IU game, they played really well the first 9 or 10 minutes of the game. In fact, I think they were up 2 points, and then Nebraska goes on like a 14-2 run, and, you know, Katie barred the door after that, 23 at halftime and so on. But the first game, the Purdue versus Michigan State game, was a very competitive, you know, physical. It was an outstanding game for Big Ten basketball. And I made a couple of notes about the game. Feel like I'm being a reporter and all, even though it was published in Future Basketball Magazine. You know, there's a lot of Indiana kids on that Purdue roster that I want to follow.
Right.
But the impressive thing was Purdue scored on their first four possessions. They had 8 points right off the bat. And then, so it was 18-10, and then it took them another 12 minutes to get 10 points before they could even get to 20. But Lance Jones had a 3-point play when it was 21-22. They cut the lead to one, and Lance Jones had a 3-point play that really kind of separated them. And then when the second half started, Braden Smith hit a 3-pointer to put them up 12 at 39-27, which was the highest mark of the game to that point. But then, as the, you know, the news is when Braden Smith went down, and I heard Painter in the post game talk about it being a calf, and that he was able to come back, which was really good. But then, of course, the shot of the game was Fletcher Lawyer's 3-pointer with 1:20 to go. So you got some Indiana kids involved with Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer. And they made enough free throws at the end to pull away, and now they got a big game with Wisconsin tomorrow, because they played Wisconsin the last game of the year at Mackey Arena, and Braden Smith went down in that game as well. So I think the Purdue Nation is probably going to wonder what the status of Smith is, not only for tomorrow and Sunday, if they get to Sunday, but what next week holds.
You know, I'd be concerned. What concerns me about the Boilers is just what you talked about. They have a tendency, especially a year ago, but they still have this that happened to them. Their offense will disappear. You know, if Zach Edey is doubled or he gets a lot of pressure or misses a couple of shots, they're still in a position like you saw tonight. They can see a lead disappear. They are a team so reliant on Edey that if something doesn't go well for him, you talk about they've gotten better. They're better than they were a year ago with others getting involved. But I still am concerned about where they are in a situation like this.
Well, even with foul trouble, Braden Smith got into foul trouble in the first half. He had two, and he went out, which I think was part of that drought on offense. But in the NCAA tournament, if they don't call the games like the Big Ten calls the games, and if Edey picks up a couple of fouls, you know, Painter has shown in the past that he'll set him for a first half. And so that will really be a critical part, I think, of how Purdue advances, because I think they have the talent and the roster and the capability and the experience. They have all these intangibles, but if they're not on the court, then, you know, you have to just next man up.
I try not to be critical of coaches, having been one myself, but what part of a game plan did I miss that Nebraska would shoot threes? Am I the only one that thought they'd shoot a lot of threes in this game tonight? Go ahead.
Well, this mast was really good when Nebraska played Purdue, and this Casey, you know, Tapanabaga or whatever is just outstanding. But when 10 minutes into the game, I think they had 2 points combined, and then he goes off, and then that Williams, he's making shots left and right. So when you start hitting three-pointers, like Nebraska was hitting three-pointers, it's hard to keep up with that type of scoring. I mean, would they have 50 points at halftime? I think it was 50 to 27 at halftime, and they were in the 90s at the end of the game.
Right.
So, yeah, Nebraska was very good. And I'll tell you, Illinois, they were good enough to beat Ohio State, but Ohio State had a great 2-day run here in this Big Ten
tournament. Yeah, they did. And, yeah, they did.
You know, Illinois versus Nebraska tomorrow, and the second game of that semifinal will be an outstanding game. And of course, Purdue and Wisconsin. Purdue's beaten them twice. So, what do you have? Seed number 1, 5, 2, mm-hmm. and 3. So, it's pretty much mapped out like you would expect. Mm-hmm. But two more great days of basketball here in Minnesota, and a semi state. And Indiana tomorrow, I guess, right?
The news is, I'm told by many people, there are semi-states around the state tomorrow. We've spent a little bit of time talking about Newcastle because of the obvious. You've got some really, really good teams. But quite frankly, I'm seeing some really compelling games at every one of these sites tomorrow.
Well, the one thing that caught my interest about the way the bracket mapped out is, like we said before, there's no favorites and underdogs and all that kind of stuff in high school basketball. However, based on the Hoosier Basketball Magazine rankings, you've got Lawrence North and Ben Davis on different sides. Now, Center Grove mm-hmm. is outstanding, and they've got a senior class that's loaded, and Jeffersonville is an underclass-laden team, so... both of those early morning games will be struggles for Ben Davis and Lawrence North. But if they are able to advance, you would have 1 versus 3 in the Hoosier Basketball Magazine rankings for a final, for a trip to make it to the state finals next week. But then also in 3A, you got Scottsburg, who's ranked 4th, and Guerin Catholic, who's 1st, and they're on right. opposite sides. And even at Lafayette for Class 2A with Wapahani, who's ranked 3rd, and Fort Wayne Blackhawk, who's ranked 2nd in the Hoosier basketball. So if it all maps out, there'll be some Hoosier Basketball Magazine teams, 1, 2, 3 across the state. But I don't think the coaches and the players and the fans care what the Hoosier Basketball Magazine ranks. It's really about what happens tomorrow, and that's what makes it so fun at these sites across the state.
They care greatly what you where you have people ranked.
Well, I like to talk about it. Yes, there are people who are interested in the Hoosier Basketball Magazine, but at least it's a reference point. So we'll
yeah,
see how it all
yeah.
plays out.
Well, you know what? It's semi-state gets you into the best week of the year normally, but because of the NCAA first and second round. You know, the finals aren't for another couple of weeks, to be honest. So it's it's a great, great time. You got the Hall of Fame dinner coming up. You got the induction class. You got all those things that are coming up. And then you got great tournament, great matchups, what we think will be great matchups based on these semi-state matchups. And so I can't believe you're not going to jet back and catch a semi-state. You're going to stay up in Minneapolis.
I will have my staff, in fact. You know, the Elkhart Gym is one of the, outstanding facilities in the state.
Sure.
And I'll have Tony and Truman will be there. Fishers is part of that group. And, of course, Crown Point, who's done well from the Dunlin Conference. And then at Southport, Dale Lawrence and Scott will be there. And Larry Gerald from Terre Haute is going to make the trip across the state to Newcastle. And depending on a Wapahani, Fort Wayne Blackhawk, we may have a staff member there. So we're going to try and cover the state as best we can because we'll have our boys' top 60 senior workout coming up on April the 7th, which is just a few weeks away, and trying to narrow down our picks and selections mm-hmm. on that. So we're just grinding through basketball as we love to do each year.
Kip Wessner, thank you for calling. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for the call.
See you later, Bob. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Scoreboard update coming up with Eddie Garrison, last one of the night. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
With this network, Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard updates, I'm Eddie Garrison. Let's take a preview at tomorrow's schedule in Division II action. In college basketball, the University of Indianapolis Greyhounds will be hosting the Midwest Regional at Nickerson Hall. They will play at 5 o'clock against William Jewell. The Cardinals are the team that bounced UIND in the semifinal round of the Great Lakes Valley Conference tournament with an 89-93 overtime loss. In the regular season, William Jewell defeated University of Indianapolis on the road, 73-71. And then back at campus of UIndy, William Jewell was able to fall to UIndy, 70-68. In Division III action at 4:06, the Trine Thunder. They will be in action for the D3 National Championship game. They're taking on Hampton-Sydney, the Tigers. That is at 4:06 Eastern. In Division I action, the Purdue Boilermakers, they will take on the Wisconsin Badgers. That's a 1 o'clock tip. You can watch that game for the Big Ten Tournament semifinal on CBS. And in the NBA, the Indiana Pacers are taking on the Brooklyn Nets. That game is a 7 o'clock tip. Indiana and Brooklyn's the first time the two teams are facing off. They will face off two more times. They will play on April Fool's Day and then re-rack it just 2 days later. The Pacers are coming off a 132-129 overtime loss on Wednesday to the Chicago Bulls. Meanwhile, the Brooklyn Nets, they have lost three of their last four games, and tomorrow's game will be the fifth game of a five-game road trip. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Eddie Garrison, great job tonight. Well done. I'm reading Indianapolis Star saying IU will decline NIT invite. Turn attention to transfer portal. Wow.
I saw another team do that as well. I can't remember who it was, but it was another Power 5 program, and it sounds like it's going to be a very common thing now just because of how many student-athletes these days are entering the portal. So it gives all these coaches an advanced timing in terms of being able to spend more time recruiting players and watching film on players and whatnot. So no surprise there when it comes to Indiana. Plus, you don't even know if you're going to have enough to fill the roster because of players that could be nowadays in the portal from your own team.
Right. John Herrick joins us from the IU Athletic Network. Tough loss, John, for the Hoosiers. This is a Nebraska team that literally shot the lights out of it tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Indiana every time they play Nebraska, but it seems to bring out the absolute best in the Cornhuskers. I mean, they've shot it extremely well in all three of the meetings that Indiana's played against them. They've scored over 80 points in all three games, and they scored 93 tonight. And it was really the end of the first half. I mean, it's hard to believe that Indiana at one point was leading this game 15-13. And then next thing you know, it's a 37-12 spurt by Nebraska, led in part by Keisei Tominaga, who's been terrific in all three of the games against Indiana. I don't believe I want to knock Indiana's defense, but it's not all just that. I mean, he sometimes he gets over half court and he's in range. I mean, some of the shots he was making tonight, just out of this world, ridiculous, and sort of resembled Stephen Curry. I mean, with his release and how quick he was. You know, you don't have Trey Galloway. That's a huge loss because he was playing so well during this winning streak that Indiana had. And Indiana never played Nebraska all year long at full strength. Didn't have Xavier Johnson in the second meeting. X only played limited minutes in the first meeting. And then you come to this game and you don't have Trey Galloway. So it's like you never played Nebraska at full strength. But I got to give a lot of credit to Nebraska. I know they're projected as possibly an 8 or a 9 seed. And if that's the case, boy, they could be a real problem if they win a game there and then face a number one seeded team in the round of 32. Because they can defend, they can shoot, and they're incredibly well coached. I have a lot of respect for their head coach, Fred Hoiberg, too.
Well, you mentioned how well Nebraska defended. They took Khalil Ware out of this game. He was, for quite a while, ineffective. Doubled up. They muscled him up, did a great job of defending him.
Yeah, and you know, Coach Yasir Rosemond, who spoke to us in the postgame show, said that they did do everything they could to game plan for that. They tried to pass it out of some of the double teams, but Nebraska was just too good, too quick, and athletic on a lot of their reversals, and just they brought help when they when you didn't expect it, and they just had really good speed. And also, Bob, I think this illustrates the importance of the double bye. You got to get that double bye in the Big Ten tournament so that when you play on Friday, you are well rested, and you're playing a team that's already played either a game or two games, depending on how the bracket shakes out. And I think it's obvious Nebraska looked, you know, like the more well-rested team tonight, which they were.
That's a great point, John. I think it is a very, very good point and makes a whole lot of sense. I know you're busy. I know you're incredibly busy, but I appreciate you taking time to bring us up to date on what happened. Have a safe trip, John. And, again, thanks so much. Enjoy the trip back.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you. John Herrick from the IU Radio Network. Tough loss for the Hoosiers. He makes a great point. Listen, these are not excuses. This is it's a great point in terms of where you are, how much time you have in terms of preparation, where you happen to be bracket-wise, and those things. And so, however you slice it, just a disappointing night for the Hoosiers in a tough loss to Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament. Final break, some final thoughts. We'll come back on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Everybody, this is Indiana Sports Talk. Eddie Garrison, great job. Hope you're still with me. Great job tonight.
Job is always yourself.
All right, I'm going to give you the last word on your Hounds. They play tomorrow, opening round of the Division II National Tournament at Nickerson Hall. Taking on William Jewell from the GLVC. And William Jewell has been a nemesis for your Greyhounds.
That is correct. 1-2 against William Jewell this season. The win was at Nickerson Hall. It was a two-point win for the Greyhounds, 70-68. But the other two contests, the first was on the road. They lost by 2 points. And then in the conference tournament semifinal game, the William Jewell Cardinals defeated the Greyhounds in overtime by 4, so you can guarantee that if you want to make a trip over to Nickerson Hall for some good basketball, it'll be a very, game. Very close game between these two teams.
Who else is playing?
It's a good question. So it looks like Northern Michigan and Ferris State, they're also playing.
Got it.
And then the winner of those two games will play Sunday at 5 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, the championship game for the Midwest Regional will be at Nickerson Hall, and that's a 7 o'clock tip.
So, you know, we have good luck to our NAIA schools that are still competing in the NAIA National Tournament, and good luck to Trine. They are in action tomorrow in the Division III National Tournament up in Fort Wayne at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. So, we got a lot of tournament basketball coming up tomorrow, Eddie. I mean, a lot. Plus those wacky semi-states that are going on around the state.
I know. How do you feel about the scheduling now of the two semi-state games instead of the two regional?
I don't, you know, you're going to have to win. At some point, you're going to have to win two games in a day to win either format. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We had Zach Hall on earlier tonight. He was not a fan. I understand it. I just think that it's tough. It's that, you know, I'm from an era where you had to win two. You had to win two to win your sectional. It was different back then. So I fully understand it. And it was, you know, statistically, there's support for the fact that if you are that team that plays the first game and then has to come back and play an evening game, that statistically you're not as successful as the others. And so I try to avoid controversy. Eddie, at this stage of my life, I like to think of myself as Switzerland. I'm as neutral as a guy can be. How's that word? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
All right. Well, then good luck to Coach Corsaro and the Hounds tomorrow. Let's hope they get a W and hope we're talking about you know, the big win tomorrow night. Eddie Garrison, great job.
Thanks, Coach.
As always. Thank you. Thank you so much to Elijah Robertson, who makes it all possible. Thanks to our great stations that bring you the show every Friday and Saturday night. And for 30 years, you've made us the most listened to sports talk show in our state's history. It is the history-making, legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.